attention, please. Judge on the microphone. My name is Sonia Schroebel. It's upon your Hawks, and I would like to serve you forever as priest and very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Schroebel, Benjamin Alexander Hawks, and I would like to serve forever as a priest and very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of the Israelites now entering the sanctuary. I would now like to turn over to future priest Yahav Hyler Hawkins.
So all told, everyone may be seated. May Jesus Yahweh be teaching every one of you. The time of my speech is sanctify Yahweh's name. We sanctify Yahweh's name by keeping his laws. This is positive law 9, sanctify Yahweh's name. Please turn to Leviticus 22, verse 32, found on page 101. And it says, "You shall not profane my holy name, but I will hallow among the children of Israel. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you and sets you apart as holy." Hallow is sanctified, and sanctified means to be God as holy. Holy is separate from sin. Please turn to Isaiah 8, verse 13, found on page 335. And it says, Sanctify Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, your reverence, and let him be your dread. Steiner A says this verse is saying, let Yahweh be your uncompromising character. We need to become like Yahweh is. Pastor said in the second book of Israel, in chapter 30, verses 156 to 158. Verse 13, sanctify Yahweh post himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Understanding that word right there, the word dread is number 6206, and it means entrance. The word entrance means refusing to compromise. So this is saying, let Yahweh be the reason you refuse to compromise with the ways of the world. This word entrance also means to abandon. Let this law be something that you will never abandon. Set your heart upon it in earnest love as Yahweh shows you and never abandon this. It also means extreme position or attitude. Let Yahweh be this to you. We can compromise and take on the ways of the world. We must be holy and set apart to Yahweh. We need to become like him throughout keeping his laws. Please turn to Leviticus 10, verse 3, found on page 88. And it says, Then Moshe said to Aaron, this is what Yahweh spoke of when he said, among those who come near me, I must be sanctified, regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. We must sanctify Yahweh's name, taking on his character and becoming like him by keeping his laws, as positive law 9 says. When we do this, it glorifies Yahweh and sets us apart as his holy people. May our best understanding all up to the next speaker.
It's a privilege and honor to turn over to the speaker today, Deacon David.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'd like to read an excerpt from the 10th book of Israel, part 2. That is believing into the one sent. And let's see. Lost my page there. Starting in chapter 15 in verse 12, it says, "But the Savior said here in Matthew 12:37, He's talking to you, He's talking to every one of us. The thing is that when we say things, you know, it alters the child's mind. Then this thing, it doesn't go away and you're guilty for it. You're guilty for this, and if you've never repented, you need to. But also you need to convert away from it, stop it, try to remember the damage you've done, and try to correct it with the children. Because for by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. And of course, the words are what we teach our children. And we can pretend we're righteous up here or anywhere, you know, in the house of Yahweh, on the stage and so forth, and go down and set a poor example in front of our children. We're speaking with what the Indians and what the Hebrew people and the early Hebrew people of Oklahoma called speaking with a forked tongue. You know, it's two-faced. So we want to make sure that we plant these seeds. We want to make sure that we plant these words, that they're positive, righteous words that we're saying to the children, and the righteous example that we're showing forth also. Now, keeping in mind, if we turn from the one sent, you can lose every bit of understanding. You know, looking over in Hebrews, and this is actually in the 10th book also on page 151, looking in Hebrews 3:16, it says, "For some, when they had heard, rebelled. When they heard the priest speak, well, they're going to do what Yahweh told them to do, as they say in their own mind. They look in the mirror and they see Yahweh, and Yahweh, I guess, speaks to them and says, 'You're perfectly right in rebelling against my laws.'" You know, Yahweh doesn't speak like that. Verse 16, it says, "For some, when they had heard, rebelled, but not all rebelled who came out of Egypt through Moshe. Some did, but not all." And so remember, you can be judged unfaithful if you don't obey the one sent. And of course, the one sent at that time was Moshe. You can turn from the one sent and you'll lose every bit of understanding. Now, moving on in verse 31 on page 152, it says, look at Hebrews 4. What he's speaking of here in the unbelief, he tested them with the Sabbath, keeping their appointments with the Sabbath. He said, "How long is it going to take for these people to turn and start keeping my appointments with them? You think he doesn't know you're missing when you're missing from services? When you're missing from the Sabbath? Yahweh has named and numbered all the planets you can see in the sky, and not one is missing." That's how brilliant this person's mind is. He knows every part of your body. Every hair on your head is numbered, the color of it, everything. He knows everything about you every minute of every day. And it's all going in the books, either the book of life or the book of curses that's being written against you. So in Hebrews 4, he says, "Therefore, since a promise," we put the chapters and the verses, it wasn't divided in the original, so we put it like this, "but therefore, since the promise of entering his rest," well, what's that rest? It's keeping the holy Sabbath. "And this message was preached to us as well as them. However, we who have believed do enter that rest, and those who do not believe will not enter into that rest." So you can't straddle the fence. You've got to choose this day whom you will serve. So remember these points here as we lead into the great Feast of Tabernacles. We plant the seeds with our words. Keep in mind what they will produce. And if you turn from the one sent, you'll lose every bit of understanding. We can be judged unfaithful if we don't obey the one sent in every word. And you can't straddle the fence. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. So keep those things in mind, and I'd like to introduce our speakers for the day. Starting out, we have Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Yaakov. He was born in the house of Yahweh, and he's been learning Yahweh's way day and night ever since. He's very involved in all aspects of the work of Yahweh, and having learned what to teach and now teaching what he has learned. You know, he's remained in the house of Yahweh, being a young man. You know, it is a struggle for all. But he has remained in the house of Yahweh by believing into the one sent and working to obey every word. Our next speaker will be Kohan Koheleth. Now, Kohan Koheleth came to the house of Yahweh in 1996 to his first Feast of Tabernacles, 22 years in the house of Yahweh. You know, as you hear how long people have been in the house of Yahweh, learning the peaceful solution, learning Yahweh's ways, it should become evident that something has kept them here, because it is a struggle. Remember, it's going to be the hardest thing that you ever did. So 22 years in the house of Yahweh, what brought him here? The knowledge, knowing who Yahweh is and knowing his plan for life, knowing how wrong he is without his direction, and knowing Yahweh's not slack concerning his promise for peace, joy, and abundant living. And what's kept him here is believing into the one sent. And he said, you know, where else would I go for the words of life? Our next speaker is Kohan Matithia Hawkins. He came with his parents about 31 years ago, and he's been immersed totally in the work for the past 19 years. He was a bit of a handful for the teachers as a boy, but everything started making perfect sense as he got a little bit older as a young man. He attributes his being able to stay strong and be here in the house of Yahweh to the strong teachers and believing into the one sent and the desire for true success. Our next speaker will be Kohan Malakia. The word of Yahweh brought him to the house of Yahweh 21 years ago. He read an article in a local newspaper talking about an archaeological discovery. It was the donation receipt to the house of Yahweh in 1997. In fact, I believe we have it right here. It's The Guardian. And you can see right there the recently discovered piece of pottery recording a donation to the house of Yahweh, which contains the oldest mention outside the Bible of King Solomon's temple. That is the original paper from back in 1997 that he read. And he said, you know, he had heard someone mention the name of Yahweh and the name of Yahshua, but when he read this, it sealed the deal. There was no going back. All right, so, and staying in the house of Yahweh, of course, by being involved in the work and every aspect of the work that he's involved in, dealing with the food supply, It's kept him constantly aware of how Yahweh's plan works. You can see it actually in the animals and how these things are done. Our next speaker will be Con David Hawkins from Brooklyn, New York. Now, Con David found out about Yahweh. He found out Yahweh had a name. He studied the House of Yahweh Established booklet, the two witnesses, and it all made sense. So he started meeting with a small group and came to the house of Yahweh in 1995 to be baptized. So he's been in the house of Yahweh for 23 years. And what's kept him here is Yahweh and his promises, realizing a person must humble themselves to receive the blessings and the understanding. And then we have Kohan Kanoth Hawkins from Louisiana, whichever one. He got a pamphlet at his house and shortly after attended Sabbath services locally. His first feast was Pentecost 1994. He's been in the house of Yahweh 24 years learning the peaceful solution. Learning Yahweh's peaceful way of life. He attributes staying here in being involved in the work. It has kept him focused on what is needed to stay in the house of Yahweh and to help serve others. And finally, we have Kohan Levi Hawkins. He came to the house of Yahweh as a teenager. He was given a booklet by a friend. That booklet was Who is Lord God, Who is Baal? That true friend is still in the house of Yahweh today, 28 years later. Now, he says that he loves the house of Yahweh and being a part of Yahweh's house, believing into the one sent, and it's something that he wants to do forever. And I think if you look back over the past few sermons or the past several weeks and even today, looking at the time that these men and the women speakers, everybody's been speaking, the queens of the house of Yahweh, looking at the time that has been put into here at the house of Yahweh and the time that Yahweh has put into us, the deciding factor here in this is believing into the one sent. and also obeying everything that comes from his mouth. With that, if you'll all please stand, I'd like to present to you our first speaker, the great son of Israel Abel, Deacon Yaakov Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today I'll be speaking about a righteous course of life. Now, we've been hearing a lot about the race lately, okay, the race to the kingdom, and when we hear about the race, it makes us want to run, right? Now, today I'll show you it from a different perspective. If you turn to 2 Timaiah, found on page 939, 2 Timaiah 4, found on page 939, we'll be looking at 2 Timaiah 4, verse 6 to 8. Now, remember this race, it started in Genesis, okay? In the beginning, it started from Genesis and it's going all the way up to right now. Right now, we are still doing this race. If you look at 2 Timaiah 4, verse 6, it says, this was Shaul's farewell address. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a righteous fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now notice that right there. I have finished my course. Okay, we'll get into that a little later. But it says, "From here on, there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yeshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing." Okay, now, so you see, after this race that we're running, we have a crown of righteousness. Okay, if we win, we have that crown. Now, back in verse 7, it says, "I have finished my course." Now, in the Strong's, if you look at this here, this is the interlinear. It says, the race. It doesn't have course, it has race there in the interlinear, and it's word number 1408. Okay, 1408. Now, That's the word race. Now, when you look up 1408 in the Greek, it says a course. Right here, it says a running, course, career, and then race. Okay? Now, think of those words. They're course and career. It says a course. It also says the course of life. The course of life. Now, if you remember a while back, there was a House Yahweh video, one of the commercials that came out, and one guy was a backhoe driver, and there was a few others there, and they said, "I have left this career and came to do this career, okay? I've changed my course." Now, so you see there the course of life. Now, I was supposed to show this here, a righteous course of life is 1074. They are a righteous course of life. So that's what we changed. We were out in the world and we came here, changed our course to the righteous course of life. Now, remember, as we're running, we have to run according to the rules. If you turn to Philippians on page 923, Philippians 3, and we'll look at verse 16 on page 923. Philippians 3, verse 16, it says, "Nevertheless, to that which we have already attained, let us walk according to that standard. Let us be of the same mind," okay, being in unity. Okay, we're not running to compete with each other, we're running in unity. And then also, when we finish that course, if you look back to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says, I have fought the righteous fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. So when you finish the course, you also become a 1074. Okay? Finish the course, 1074. All right, so let's remember as we're running, follow the rules, and when we finish that course, we become a 1074. We're tagged with that number. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If y'all please stand, I'd like to turn over to the Great Khan, Koheleth Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, you may be seated. Well, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. No, it's amazing because I hadn't talked to the future priest, but he referred to the Apostle Shaul and certain things about the Apostle Shaul, and I'm going to cover some of those things. I'm not going to really get into the Apostle Shaul, but what he was saying was the Apostle Shaul knew that there was a crown of life waiting for him, and there was a portion when he said, I am poured out like a drink offering. And what I kind of want to talk about today, well, let me back up a little bit, because I want to show you a picture that Yahweh's painting for us. Okay, I want to show you a picture that Yahweh's painting for us, and then we're going to work backwards to see how Yahweh's preparing us so that we can be exactly how it's described in this picture, which is in Revelations. But before I go there, turn to Yeremia chapter 23. Turn to Yeremia chapter 29. I'm sorry, Yeremia 29. Okay, Yeremia 29. Okay, and when I read this scripture, you know, keep in mind, you know, everything that we're learning in Yahweh's house. Okay, first of all, believing in Yahweh. Okay, believing in Yahweh, trusting in Yahweh, believing into the one sent, believing into this work, putting everything that we have in this work. Okay, now look at verse 11. For I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for. Okay, so Yahweh knows his plans for us. Okay, Yahweh's in complete control of what's going on. If we want to be a part of that, then there's things that we have to do as individuals. Okay, and this is what we're going to talk about. Okay, this is what we want to talk about. Look at Revelations 22. Revelations 22. So this is one of the pictures that Father Yahweh is painting for us. Starting at verse 1. And he showed, this is on page 985. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life. And so what's that tree of life? The house of Yahweh, right? The family of Yahweh. Okay, because another word for house, one of the definitions is family. Okay, the family of Yahweh, which bears 12 fruits, which are righteous works and righteous character, and yields their fruits every month, and their leaves, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And remember Psalms 1. Okay, a righteous man or a righteous person is planted by rivers of water, right? And yields its fruit. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads. And there will be no night there, and they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for Father Yahweh gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Okay, praise Yahweh. That's a beautiful picture. Okay, that's a beautiful picture that Yahweh's painting for us, but we have to get to that point. So let's work backwards a little bit here. Okay, so in Yahweh's plan, there has to be someone to get us there, right? To get us into the kingdom, right? And so Yahweh established a priesthood. He established righteous teachers. Okay, and so one of the first components, one of the main components of this plan was having a high priest, a mediator, to intercede on our behalf, you know, to show us how to enter into the presence of Yahweh. Because remember, what separated the people from Yahweh? What separates the people from Yahweh? Sins, right? And in the house of Yahweh, or what's known as the temple, you know, there was a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, right? Okay, so here in Hebrews chapter 10 on page 949, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Yeshua, by a new way of living, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So hold your place there for a second, and let's just turn over quickly to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Where am I at? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Sorry, I don't have my pages marked. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 14, it says, no, verse 13. We are not like Moshe, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not gaze at it as the radiance was fading away, but their minds were blinded. Okay, now hold your place there and look at 4:4. Okay, right on the next page, 2 Corinthians 4:4. For the gods of this world, led by Satan, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so that the light of the message of the glory of the Messiah, who is in the image of Yahweh, should not shine unto them. Okay, so back over here in chapter 3, okay, their minds were blinded, okay, when Moshe was teaching. Okay, it was a veil over them. It says here that for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted at the reading of the law, prophets, and the writings, because only in Messiah is it taken away. The veil taken away and the blindness removed. But even to this day, when the law given through Moshe is read, a veil lies over their hearts and minds. However, when one turns to Yahweh, the veil is taken away. Okay, and this is what we just read over here in Hebrews, which I'm going back to now. Okay, it says here that through a new way of living, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, okay, this way that Yeshua lived, he overcame the flesh, right? Remember what the works of the flesh are? In Galatians, it said these things are obvious. Okay, drunkenness, covetousness, adultery, fornication, you know, eating, sleeping, and rising to play. Okay, these are the things that separate us from Yahweh. This is a veil that keeps us from being able to enter into the presence of Yahweh. Continuing on here, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart or a pure heart in full assurance of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, so again, remember Yeshua said, you know, out of the heart flow like evil things, right? The evil thoughts, evil passions, covetousness, all of these different things come out of our heart. But it says, let our hearts be sprinkled. Okay, have a pure heart. And the scripture shows, I think it's in Timothy, 2 Timaeus or 1 Timaeus, but it says the ultimate result of the keeping of the law is a love out of a pure heart. An unfeigned, a genuine faith. That's the ultimate result of the keeping of the law. And then the scripture shows that Yeshua, in Romans, the scripture shows that Yeshua is the ultimate result of the keeping of Yahweh's law. Okay, Yeshua is the ultimate result. He's an example of what we can become, being like Yahweh. But we have to allow Yahweh's laws to wash us, being washed with this pure water. And then it says here in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of the faith without wavering. Okay, not wavering, not bending, not giving way, for he who promised is faithful. Okay? He who promised is faithful. Okay? Remember, it's impossible for Yahweh to do what? To lie. Praise Yahweh. It's impossible for Yahweh to lie. Okay? Yahweh cannot. He says, I cannot lie. Okay? I vowed by my name. There is none greater. Okay? You are a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek forever. This is the oath that he's given. No, to Yeshua, a priesthood with an oath, a promise, okay, to those who choose righteousness, okay? So let's turn over to Yochanan, because again, we're still working backwards so that we can see that beautiful picture that Yahweh showed us in Revelations 22. In Yochanan 4, let's go to Yochanan 4. Nope. Is it Yochanan 4, I'm sorry. In Yochanan 4, this is the Samaritan woman, when Yeshua was dealing with the Samaritan woman. And remember, he asked her for a drink. And then she said, why do you want a drink from me? And so the conversation went on, and he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for a drink. Right? And so so let's see here. Verse 14 here says, but whoever drinks of this water that I will give him will never become thirsty, for the water that I will give him will become in him like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Okay, so he's showing that, you know, if you partake in these teachings, you know, you will also be able to bring forth these waters of life, these words, these teachings that bring forth life. Like the Apostle Shaul, I'm poured out like a drink offering. Okay, I'm offering you the opportunity to receive these teachings and live. Okay, so turn a couple pages over to Yochanan chapter 7. And let's look at verse 37. On the last day, the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Yeshua stood and cried, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," okay, believing, remember, okay, like Pastor said, empty faith is total stupidity. Okay, empty faith is total stupidity. You have to have works. You have to be keeping Yahweh's law. Okay, this is belief. "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." Okay, rivers of living waters. Okay, so remember the scriptures also show, I think it's in Isaiah, and it talks about drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Okay, and remember Yeshua was just talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman, not just talking to her. We just read when he was talking to her about drawing waters from the well, and you would be a you know, living waters, wells of living water. Okay, and so your heart will flow living waters. Okay, these teachings that bring forth life. But we know that the teachings of Yahweh not only changes the heart, but also changes what? The mind. So turn over. You know where I'm going. I'm about to quiz you. What scripture am I going to? Don't be scared, you know. Proverbs chapter 4, 23. Praise Yahweh. Proverbs chapter 4, 23. The scripture reads, "Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life." Okay, out of it flows the springs of life. So here, you know, we're being taught how to guard our mind, you know, how to change our heart so our hearts can bring forth these living waters, and guarding our mind because this is where the springs of life flow from. Okay, so I don't know if you know about springs, but basically, you know, in the water cycle, starting with rain, okay, so it'll rain and then it'll go through the soil, then it'll filter through rocks and different things, and then it'll flow until eventually it comes out. And so the springs will turn into streams, which eventually forms, you know, rivers. Okay, so the scripture says, let my teaching fall like the what? Let my teachings fall like the rain, right? Let my teachings fall like the rain. So as the teachings are coming from above, from Yahweh, you know, from the mouth of the witness, we're drawing from that well from him, right? Y'all get it? So we're drawing our water from him, and it's getting into our minds, and eventually these different things that we're learning, you know, the righteous character of Yahweh, you know, empathy, compassion, all of these different things, you know, eventually it will change the heart. And so these springs that are filtering through us will eventually cause us to flow, right? Cause our heart to really bring forth the true word of Yahweh, these living waters that brings life to all. Okay, but this is what Yahweh's showing. Out of the throne comes these living waters. This is a picture of us in Yahweh's kingdom. Okay, this is a beautiful picture, but we have to get there. We have to follow the teachings because the scriptures show that, you know, this priesthood, you know, has been authorized to bring forth the ability for people to truly change. And that's through the teachings, not just a reminder of sin, which the first priesthood was honorable and glorious, but it was a reminder of sin. The Levitical priesthood, right? They reminded that, look, sin brings death. Sin brings death. Okay? But this priesthood actually shows you how to remove sin from your life. And that's why the scripture shows. That's one of the reasons why the scripture shows that the latter house has more glory than the former house. Okay? And not that we're better than Moshe or better than Abraham by any means. This is just part of the plan of Yahweh because things have to progress to a certain point to bring this about. It takes a lot of work to bring forth a righteous person. Okay, look at what it took to bring forth Yeshua and all of the things that Yahweh did in order to guard that bloodline so that Yeshua could be born, so that we can become like it says in Revelation 22. A lot of work. You know, it's not just a snap of a finger. Okay, we're talking about years and years of training and putting things in ourselves so that we can pass these things to our children and still guard it. Okay, and still guard the children so that they can grow up to be like Yeshua. Okay, that's what's been given to this priesthood. Okay, so these rivers, praise Yahweh. So when you look at these rivers, remember, or the heart, remember Yeshua says, out of the heart, what does it say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth truly speaks. Okay, so we have to really be careful when it comes to, you know, the things that we allow into our minds. We just saw it on the video last night about, you know, how Pastor reminded us about what goes on in our mind. We have to guard our minds because it affects our heart, and then it does affect what we say. Okay, it affects what we say. You know, in the Great Qumran brought out years ago about the four angels, right, that was bound in the river Euphrates, right? And you remember what those meanings were behind those four angels? The pride, war, lawlessness, and disunity. Those were the rivers that encompassed, you know, those areas, right? That pride, and we see it now, it's around the whole world. Okay, but in the house of Yahweh, there's the fountains of living waters, the rivers of living water. We have to get rid of that poison. Okay, we have to change the hearts and the mind, and that only comes through being here and believing into this work. Let's see. Look over to Matthias chapter 10. Matthias chapter 10. One of the awesome things about the oath that Yahweh has given us is that, again, you know, he promised us that, look, if you're righteous and you do righteous, if I accept you into my priesthood, you know, you're going to see so many horrible things that you're never going to allow this world to come to the state that it's in again. Okay, we were doing class last night, and in Pastor's sermon, it said that he was rejoicing, and he was saying no world leaders have the people before them that he has before him, you know, people that are sincere and desire to be righteous like him, you know, and we are thankful for his teachings, right? Because we really do want to become like Yahweh. And that's why we're here, wanting to develop this character of Yahweh. And so I want to read this scripture in Matthias chapter 10, because is it Matthias chapter 10? I wanted to read this scripture because, you know, some people don't really take the priesthood seriously. And I'm not talking about us, but, you know, a lot of the priests of old, you know, being born into the priesthood, you know, when you're giving something, you really don't appreciate it, right? I mean, we've been in those situations where we really don't appreciate what we have because it's just given to us, you know. But when you work for something, if you work 80 hours and you only get 20 bucks, you're going to cherish that 20 bucks. You're not just going to blow it all on, like, you know, candy or something like that. You're really going to scrutinize. Oh, I don't know what I want to spend this 20. I worked 80 hours for this 20 bucks. I'm not just going to give it away. Right. So while we're working to obtain the character of Yahweh, when Yahweh rewards us with these positions in his kingdom, you know, we're going to be thankful and rejoice because we know the effort that we put into overcoming ourselves. Right. So we're not going to just, you know, allow sin and all these foolish things to enter back in. It's like, nah, you don't know what I went through to get here. I'm not letting that in here, bro. You can, nope. Go get with your counselors. Check that at the door, right? Praise Yahweh. And so I can't find the scripture, but I'm going to paraphrase it, I guess. But it's when Yeshua was dealing with the Pharisees, and he said to them, you know, you shut the door to the kingdom of Yahweh in the face of men, and you won't go in, neither will you allow them to go in. Y'all know where that's at? 23? Man. All right, praise Yahweh. All right, praise Yahweh. 23:13. So it says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of Yahweh in men's faces, for you yourselves will not go in, nor will you allow those who do come, go in. You know, showing that, you know, there's priests not in the house of Yahweh, but there's people who claim that they have salvation, they have the right to teach salvation. You know, they're shutting the door in men's faces, and they won't teach them how to get into Yahweh's kingdom. But at Yahweh's house, you know, the priests aren't like that, okay? The house of Yahweh isn't like that. The house of Yahweh is an open door showing us how to enter into the kingdom, right? It says it in Genesis that the house of Yahweh is the gateway. It is the entranceway to the kingdom of Yahweh, okay? Only through the house of Yahweh. And there's classes daily. There's something going on every single day. And if it's not a class, you know how else you get into the house, into the kingdom of Yahweh? Man, do I even need to be up here? Do I even need to be up here? No. Well, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. But, you know, working with one another. Remember what Pastor said in the class that we covered last night? You know, this is part of coming out of this world, out of this system that causes this separation between each other and separates us from Yahweh. So this work causes us to come together as a family to usher in peace, joy, and abundant living, everlasting righteousness. Okay, so the work is important. So if you're not in a class, guess what you should be doing? Working, right? Working. Okay? And I want to say work while you sleep. Well, Pastor did it. All right, so it's not impossible. With Yahweh, what? All things are possible. Okay, all things are possible. Now, don't go operating heavy machinery while you're asleep. I'm not saying that, all right? But, you know, allowing all of these things to be in our minds, constantly meditating, thinking about these things, these springs of life, which does change our hearts so that out of our heart will flow what? The rivers of water, right? Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Okay, so Yeshua is teaching us to be humble, you know, submissive to the teachings, so that we can be these, so that we can be this perfect picture that he's showing us. And part of humility is reverencing Yahweh with this humble and pure heart, you know, this genuine faith, you know, coming before Yahweh, okay, on bent knees if we have to, you know, if we can, you know, uplift the hands of Father Yahweh, you know, heads bowed, Father Yahweh, you know, I'm so sorry for the man that I used to be or for the woman I used to be. Not me being a woman, I'm not, you know, just saying, all right, because we know how people think, so, all right, I'm just covering, praise Yahweh. So, you know, being humble and repentant, like the man who was, remember, he said, you know, Father Yahweh, have mercy on me, a sinner, you know, forgive me, okay? And so uplifted hands and a bowed head shows Yahweh, you know, Father Yahweh, please help me, okay? Because we also now know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us, okay? The hopes for peace and not destruction. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'll all please stand, I turn it over to the great Kahan, Matithia Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You can be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You'll be turning over to Psalms chapter 95, found on page 472. Psalms chapter 95. And then for your notes, I forgot to get the announcement about bringing your first books of Israel. Now, just for your notes, if you write down the first book of Israel, chapter 25, verse 25. First book of Israel, chapter 25, verse 25. And Pastor said, the Savior himself spoke of us. He spoke of this work of actually warning the world of what it is doing and the ignorant things that it is doing to cause what it is causing at this time. And that is what Matithia 24 said. We would bring this message of the kingdom as a warning to all nations, as a witness to all nations. We would witness this to the people, but we are also, Yahweh shows, we are going to witness the end come. We are going to be living witnesses, eyewitnesses like the apostles were. And the title of my sermon today is You Too Can Become a Witness. Because we know Yahweh brought us here to his great house for a purpose, for a job, and for a place in his kingdom. And Pastor, many times, as Pastor is the last day's witness, he's the one Yahweh's chosen in these last days to witness what sin is bringing to mankind. He's also offered us this same job, that we are going to be witnesses forever to all life, creation, the universe, of what sin brings, so that we would be able to totally obliterate, destroy, and get rid of sin from throughout the universe, starting with the earth first and then spreading forth. And in Psalms chapter 95 and verse 6, it says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before you, O Yahweh, our Maker. For you are our Father, and we are the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hands. Today, hear the voice of Yahweh, our Father, when he proclaims, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, strife and rebellion, as you did that day at Massa, testing and trial in the wilderness. And if you write down Exodus 17, verse 7, it shows how the people hardened their hearts. They didn't trust in Yahweh. They didn't hear the voice of Yahweh. Where your fathers tempted themselves and they provoked themselves, though they saw my work. For 40 years, I watched a wicked generation, and I said, it is a people who do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I vowed in my judgment, they will not enter my rest. So remember here about hearing the voice of Yahweh. And just quickly for your notes, you don't have to go over there. But for your notes, in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5, it tells us about our great father Abraham. And it tells us how Abraham found this honor in Yahweh. And it says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So we can see Abraham obeyed the voice of Yahweh. He was humble and submissive to realize that he needed a teacher, he needed to be taught, and he went and he submitted himself to Melchizedek at that time to learn the righteous teachings of Yahweh and to be able to prove himself and qualify for a position in Yahweh's kingdom. We have this same offering, brethren, in these last days, where Yahweh has called us to his house and he's brought us to a great teacher so that we would be able to prove ourselves and to be qualified to actually be chosen to be these great teachers. And for your notes, in the second book of Yisrael, and you might have your second book of Yisrael because we use it in workshops, but your second book of Yisrael, chapter 25, and there's no verses in the books, but on the Yisrael says it would be like verse 53, starting in verse 53. But this is on page 225, the second book of Yisrael. And pastor's reading here in Yeketzkiah chapter 44 and verse 23. And he says, "And they will teach my people. Yes, they will be chosen. You are being chosen at this time if you will uphold the laws of Yahweh, every law." So we're being chosen if we do what? If we uphold the law. And remember, also, Abraham didn't just obey Yahweh's laws, statutes, and commandments. He obeyed the voice of Yahweh. "You will be chosen to teach his laws, his 613 laws. Now hold up your hand if you think you can reject Yahweh's laws now." Anyone think they can reject Yahweh's laws now? You want to hold up your hand? "And you will be someone," pastor says, "you will be someone he will choose." I'm sorry, he says, "Hold up your hand if you think you can reject Yahweh's laws now, and you will be someone he will choose to teach his law in the soon coming millennium." Meaning you're not going to enter into this priesthood. You won't be a part of this. You won't be offered eternal life. You won't be offered a place in Yahweh's kingdom. "Well, I'm glad I don't see any hands raised," pastor said. He says, "And they will teach his law." And he continues in Yeketzkiah chapter 44 and verse 23. And it says, "And they will teach my people the difference between the holy and profane." And the only way you can know the difference between the holy and profane, pastor says, is to keep the law of Yahweh yourself. You know, how do we learn these things? We have to follow Deuteronomy 12 verse 5 to seek the house, to seek the habitation. Deuteronomy 17, 9 through 11, to go to the priest and to ask for the decision and to do all that they order us to do. That's the only way we can learn the difference between the holy and profane. And this, brethren, is how we're qualifying and proving ourselves as being chosen ones that Yahweh can use throughout all eternity to be witnesses to what sin brings and to be able to bring peace to the universe. Continuing on, pastor says here, he says about the only way to know the difference between the holy and the profane is to keep the law of Yahweh yourself. Knowing them is not enough. You have to let them be a part of your life. Remember, Jacob chapter 2 verse 17 tells us that faith without works is dead being alone. We can't just, you know, say that we desire to have a part in Yahweh's kingdom. We desire to put an end to sin, and we're not putting forth the works and the efforts day by day and actually proving this. And skipping on here to page 225 in the top right-hand column in the second book of Yisrael, pastor says, he says, these people, us, the great family of Yahweh, are going to teach his people the difference between the holy and the profane and show them how to distinguish between unclean and the clean. Because Yahweh is going to offer the world salvation, the whole world. It's not the time right now, but he is going to call all those who are left of the destruction that they bring upon themselves. He's going to call them to his house to learn this difference between the holy and the profane. And continuing in Yeketzkiah chapter 44, verse 24, it says, "In a controversy, they will stand in judgment." Yes, remember the scripture says, "Do you not know that you are even going to be judging the Malakim? You are going to be judging all the people there. How are you going to be judging them? According to Christian standards? According to the way you were brought up? This doesn't make any sense." You know, so we can see here that it's not according to our own thinking. It's not, as Moshe told the people, let us not do here as everyone's doing, which is right in their own sight. No, it has to be according to a standard. And what is that standard? Zechariah tells us, Zechariah chapter 4, that the two witnesses, the great witness, the last witness, Yisrael, he will separate and he will set the standard of perfection, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. And this is the standard that we are going to be teaching, we're going to be judging by and leading by, according to the standard of perfection taught by the great mighty teacher that Yahweh has established. Everything Christianity stands for today is condemned in the Holy Scriptures. Continuing on, pastor says, all they want to do is do away with the law. Brethren, I'm sorry to say, part of this Christian standard is still in our minds. We're more concerned about what the neighbors are going to think than we are about pleasing Yahweh. And holding our place there in the second book of Yisrael, you know, sometimes if you go over to 1 Corinthians, sometimes tests or trials or sufferings or attacks or different things can kind of cause us to forget exactly what Yahweh has brought us to do. You know, that we shouldn't be concerned with the world. We shouldn't be concerned with the things of the world. We should be more concerned with what Yahweh thinks of us than what the world's thinking. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 on page 889, the Apostle Shaul talked here about the ministers of Yahweh and how they're looked upon. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 9, it says, "It seems to me that Yahweh has put us on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to death, men or women, for we have been made a spectacle to the whole world, to Malachim as well as men. Here we are fools for the sake of Messiah, while you are supposed to be wise in Messiah. We have no power, while we are oh so mighty. We are oh so honorable, but we are despised. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. We work hard with our own hands when we are cursed. We bless when we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. When we have been treated as filth of the world, the scum of the earth until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you." So we know that the world is not going to be exalting the righteous teachers in the house of Yahweh. Now they exalt, you know, whatever's the latest God, you know, fashioning, you know, the latest trend or the latest thing that's making money. That's the things that they exalt. They don't exalt righteousness or righteous teachings. And even there was a recent news article here from just our local area in one of the schools where they were trying to teach about proper dress, and they were being condemned for teaching about proper dress. Because even proper dress, these are things that they condemn. Any little bit of holiness, they love to condemn, because they want to promote what's evil and make righteousness look wicked. You know, we're dirty, nasty people. You know, think of all the things you might have read in the news or seen. You know, we're dirty, nasty people supposedly who live with dogs, don't let dogs go out of our houses, and we, you know, work 40 hours in a day, and all the different things that they say about the great house of Yahweh, which are impossibles and even their standards. But because we practice righteousness, because we're keeping Yahweh's laws, because we're following the witness and striving to be like the witness, these are the things that make the world look down upon us. And for your notes, write down Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we have to be mindful that in training, everything we do, Pastor's shown us, everything we do is a training. It's an example. You know, the way we act, the things we say, and the choices that we're making, these things are training our children. It's not just the words we say. You know, as Pastor used to say years ago, you have the man who says, you know, "Son, don't be smoking. It's really bad for you. Don't ever smoke," right? You know, and the words are useless because the actions are totally opposed to what the words are. If you'd be turning over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, and I'm going to continue on here in the second book of Israel on page 225. Pastor's continuing in Yeketzkeh chapter 44, 24. He says, "In a controversy they will stand in judgment, and they will judge it according to my judgments." Pastor says, this could be your own father who you'd be judging at that time, your own mother, the one who bore you. I'm talking about flesh and blood, not the house of Yahweh, which is your mother, and Yahweh, who is your father. You know, so you could be judging your own kin folks. This could be your own kin who have died before you, your grandparents, the aunt, the uncle who you love so much when you were in the world of Baal. They could be doing something or taking a law of Yahweh and actually living by a law. If you are condemning it now, you would condemn it then. There is no way that Yahweh could choose you to teach his 613 laws unless you make them a part of your life at this time. How can you? You know, so Pastor's showing here that the example that we set for our kin folks, you know, for our blood relatives, is by the way we live now. We can't be straddling the fence and trying to hang on to Christianity by why yet trying to put on this white garment of becoming a humble, perfect servant before Father Yahweh. In Yeketzkeh 44:24, it says, "They will judge it according to my judgments." This is what Father Yahweh says, that we will judge it according to his judgments, according to the standard of perfection. Pastor says, this is a fact. They will keep, this is continuing in Yeketzkeh 44:24, "They will keep my laws and my statutes for all my appointed feasts, and they will keep my Sabbaths holy. You know, the Sabbaths and the feast are sometimes as far as people can grow. They can't seem to ever get past these. This is great that they keep the feast and that they keep the Sabbath holy, but they come to the feast grounds bringing in Christian doctrines or Christians' attitudes. Now, this is back in 1993, so we see a lot less of this, but we still have to be on guard, brethren. We have to be on guard on why Yahweh brings us here, and that our thoughts are not Yahweh's thoughts. You know, and our desires are not Yahweh's desires, unless we're learning Yahweh's desires and then making our desires to be like Yahweh's desires. They come to the feast grounds bringing in Christian doctrines or Christians' attitudes, and we have all kinds of hell in the camp. Now, going over towards the end of this sermon, which is on page 228, I want to quickly here, I think we have enough time to read in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 58, if you hold your place in Luke chapter 6, in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 through 14, it says, "And if you turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, your own business, your own pleasure in my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight," you know, and that's a little more than, I mean, yes, it includes rejoicing and, you know, praising Yahweh, but it's a little more than just, you know, praise Yahweh when you come to the sanctuary on the Sabbath and you're delighting on the Sabbath. Now, remember what Pastor brought us in the series, Keeping the Sabbath as Yahweh Keeps the Sabbath. He talked about how we keep the Sabbath as a delight, how we have to serve one another, how we have to build up others, and how we have to come and we have to learn Yahweh's teachings that we're going to be able to use to serve all creation for all eternity. But you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversation. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh. Okay, so you find your joy after you start practicing and following and keeping the Sabbath and not just showing up to the sanctuary, but actually keeping the Sabbath as Yahweh kept the Sabbath, then you'll find your joy in Yahweh. And Yahweh will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken of it. And Pastor set a perfect example for us here in these last days of finding joy in Yahweh. You know, how we find our joy in Yahweh, because it's not necessarily just something that just hocus pocus and bam, you're joyful, you know, or you go, I mean, sure, the food is really great and you eat it and you're excited, but, you know, you're going to have tests throughout the day. You're going to have trials. And if you're just looking for some kind of an instant joy, no, you have to find your joy. You have to build your joy in Yahweh. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, if you're still there, Luke 6 verse 40, and Yeshua was saying here, he said, "The disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfect will be as his teacher." And verse 41, "So why would you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the beam that is in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself cannot see the beam that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first pull out the beam from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to pull out the speck that is in your brother's eye." You know, so if we're examining ourselves and seeing where is it that we're not witnessing to how sin is bringing damnation to the earth and how sin is destroying the righteous plan that Yahweh has set in the beginning. We're not destroying his plan, but destroying mankind, bringing down their bodies. You know, if we're not witnessing that throughout our own actions, then we're not becoming perfect here, as Yeshua said, and being as our teacher. And in closing here, Pastor says, on page 228 of the second book of Israel, which is chapter 26, and it's like the last couple verses here of the chapter, he says, "Remember what Yeketzia said, 'They're going to judge by my judgments, or they're not going to judge at all, because they won't be judges. They won't be priests in the kingdom.'" Okay, if our judgments are not Yahweh's judgments, if our actions are not Yahweh's actions, if we're not modeling the example that has been set before us here in these last days, then we won't become these witnesses that we actually are called to be. We're called to be a witness, to help the witness and being a witness and helping to practice righteousness and to overcome sin and teach against it. In Yeketzia 44:24, it says, "And not go beyond that which is written." Can you do that, brethren? Can you stand up for the laws of Yahweh? If you can, you're very strong. The pressure is going to come against you to see if you're truly able to. I can see it coming, not only pressure from without, but it's going to come from within. People are going to try to pull you away because of Christian standards, because they won't be judging by the laws of Yahweh. I hope and pray, brethren, that you'll start studying these laws. And when it hits your house, then you will, as Shaul said here, you will learn to judge by what is written in the laws of Yahweh. And may Yahweh bless you, great family of Yahweh. At this time, if you all please stand. I have the great opportunity to turn over one of Yahweh's mighty priests, the great Kohen Malachi Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. So we're going to continue from where the great priests have left off and speaking about Yahweh's judgment. They say the priests will make righteous judgment. And the only how the priests or the kingdom of Yahweh is going to make those righteous judgments, he have to be judging according to the laws of Yahweh. And this is one of the key things in the administration of Yahweh or the family of Yahweh or the kingdom of Yahweh, is making all our judgment according to Yahweh's law. So the title of this sermon is We Will Wait on Yahweh. Because we see the time span that we are in right now, things are getting so crucial. Right? Things are getting so crucial. We have to be bottled down in the house of Yahweh. So let us turn our book of Yahweh to Exodus. Page 61. We'll be looking at Exodus 20. Let's look at verse. Let's just go ahead and read part of it. Starting from verse 1. And Yahweh spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He said, you shall have no hinder gods, Elohim, at all. They are in opposition against me. So we see Yahweh's laying down a foundation for his people. Right? He's laying on that foundation. He said, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, an idol, anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Let's look at verse 20. Right? He said, Israel said to the people, do not fear. And last time one of the priests covered what this word fear is. He said, do not fear, for Yahweh have come to test. So we see two things that Yahweh have come here for, or called us to his house for. Number one is to test and prove us. Right? And this is something, you know, a deacon who I usually speak to a lot, he said, Kahan, this is scripture I always remember. Anytime anything occurred, this is my most loved scripture. Yahweh is here to test and to prove me. Right? So we see two things that Yahweh is telling us here. Yahweh is here to test and to prove you so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you so that you do not commit sin. Now, in the reverence of Yahweh, number 17, page 234, verse 75, Pastor said, this right here, love Yahweh with all your heart, is actually means reverencing Yahweh. So what he's saying here, we can actually take the word love and put it here where it said reverence. Right? So it's saying, so that the love for Yahweh will be with you or with us. Right, he said the love of Yahweh will be with us so that we do not commit sin. Now let us go to page 964. And this is Anna. First Yohanan 2. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. It said, my little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah, the righteous. And he is the sacrifice of atonement. And we know we just passed through that day of atonement. It's for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we see, you see, what Yahweh's plan consists of is starting off with us, but it will go out, you know, to everyone else at that time. You know, this occurred about like about 3 years ago with the Kohana. You know, she ended up getting a call from one of her next of kin, blood. And they told her, well, look, her mom passed away. I know she started, you know, a woman very emotional. You know, she started to cry, you know, and looking at her. And I let her, you know, cry all her tears and so on. And after she turned and she looked at me and she said, Malakia, do you have any feelings for my mama? And I said, yes. I said, that is why we are in Yahweh's house. So the pain and the suffering that she went through, you know, no one don't have to go through that again. I said, that is why we are in Yahweh's house. And that is why every one of us are in Yahweh's house. So the pain and the suffering that all these people are going through, we are making that sacrifice to qualify so they don't have to go through this again. Now, let us look at an example of one of the call-out ones who actually love Yahweh. And she gave a very encouraging, she made a very encouraging statement. Let's go to page 224. That's 1 Samuel 2. Let's look at 1 and 2. It said, now Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in Yahweh. It said, my horn of strength. And this word horn actually means power. So she's showing us, well, look, there's nothing greater than Yahweh. There's no being greater than Yahweh. And she said she rejoiced in this. My horn of strength is exceeded in Yahweh. Exalted in Yahweh. Well, look at what she said here very, very closely. This next sentence. She said, I laugh at my enemies. She said she actually laughed at her enemies. Why she laughed at her enemies? Because she put that trust in Yahweh. Right? She knows exactly like what Yahshua said. No one can do, our enemies can't do nothing to us unless Yahweh permit it. So she knew that, and she laughed at her enemies. Though her heart didn't have any fear of them, because she put that joy in Yahweh. Because I rejoice in your salvation. Right? She said she rejoiced in Yahweh's salvation. No. And Yahweh, if you really look at it, Yahweh is the author of our salvation. Right? He actually have a blueprint or a schematic diagram, you know, for each and every one of our lives. Right? He know exactly what every one of us need, what we need to overcome. Because this is what, you know, he's like a chief architect. I mean, if you know what an architect really does, an architect is one who plan, design, review, and construct buildings. And when we look at Yahweh, what Yahweh is doing with every one of us, this is what he is doing. Right? He put our plan, his plan before us. You know, he's redesigning us, reviewing us to see how we are going, and he's building us in his image. Right? Now, Yahweh, you know, placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Right? And he told them, you know, to guard and keep. You know, guard and keep the tree of life or the way of life. But what was Yahweh giving them to guard and keep? Right? What was Yahweh actually giving them to guard and keep? That tree of life. Because you see, when pastors speak, we have to understand exactly what he's saying so we can understand fully what our duties are. Right now, in the laws of Yahweh, the temple and the priests, positive law number 22 said, guard the house of Yahweh at all times. Now, yes, we have to guard the physical building. We have to guard the physical building. Everything that Yahweh blessed us with, we have to guard. But is that the main thing? Is that the main thing? Now, our high priest, you know, give us a plain like daylight what we actually have to guard. Now, I'm not saying we're not supposed to guard these things, but Yahweh give us these things, put these things in our trust for us to take care of. But let us look at Yakanana. Because Yahshua gave us, made it totally clear what we have to guard and keep. Page 8, 22. Okay, let me just give it directly. It said, it is the spirit that gave life. So he's talking about the tree of life. He said, the spirit that gave life, the flesh is useless. He said, the laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. So what are we supposed to guard and keep? Right? So we have to guard and keep is the word of Yahweh. Right? And this is what Yahweh said, what the priest was supposed to do. When he said guard the house of Yahweh, guard to make sure no false doctrine come into the house of Yahweh. This is what the tree of life is bringing forward. When we guard that, we are bringing forth that tree of life, and we are actually guarding and keeping what Yahweh said that Adam and Eve didn't do, because they fall back, they fall into deception. Right? So this is what we have to do: guard and keep the words of Yahweh. Okay, but so with that in mind, let us look at Deuteronomy 17. Let's go to Deuteronomy 17, 19. With that in mind. Now, 17, 19, it said, go to the priests who are Levites and to the judges who are in office at that time. It said, ask. So we see what he's saying here. He's giving us a direct command. He says, ask for their decision, and they will give you the sentence of judgment. He said, you must act accordingly to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chose. He said, be careful. This is what he's telling us. He said, be careful to do all they order you to do. According to the laws, you see, going back to the laws, and this is what we have to guard and keep. You see, according to the laws they teach you, you shall do, and according to the decision they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence they pronounce for you. So what he's saying here, he said, do not turn left or right from the decision that the priest lay down. Because remember, this is how the house of Yahweh, this is how the priest is guarding the house of Yahweh. This is how pastor is guarding the house of Yahweh and the people of Yahweh. So we won't turn back to sin. So what verse 11 is actually saying is, if we do not act according to the laws or the decision that was given by our counselors, by the priest, by the judge, coming down from pastor, he said, we are not guarding the house. He said, if we turn aside from those decisions, the laws, everything that was laid down by the administration of Yahweh, he said, we are not guarding the house of Yahweh. Right? This is what he is saying here. Right? He said, don't turn. Anytime we turn from it, we're going right back to what Adam and Eve did, disqualifying themselves from the kingdom of Yahweh. Right? Verse 12 said, the man who acts presumptuously, and that is pride. Presumptuously means prideful and shows contempt. Contempt means when someone think or feel he or she is better than the priest. Right? This is what it's saying. Someone feel he's better than pastor. This is what contempt means. right? Better than the priests, better than who Yahweh have set in office to administer the laws of Yahweh. You know, this is what actually mean. From dictionary.com or Cambridge, sorry. Yeah, it means contempt mean rude because of doing something, although you know you do not have a right to do it. This is what presumptuous mean. Yeah, this is what presumptuous mean. Doing something that you do, you know that you don't have the right to do. Now let us look quickly because time is running real fast. Now, to remain in the house of Yahweh, you know, we have to keep focus. This is the main thing. We have to keep focus. If I were to ask, why do you have to overcome sin? Or why we have to overcome sin? Right? If I were to ask that. Now, if your answer is to make it in the kingdom, we are not seeing the whole picture. We're missing the whole picture. Because if it's just to make it in Yahweh's kingdom, we are just seeing right in front of us. We have to see beyond that point. Right? If we are just looking at, or you're just focusing right in front of us, and dealing, you know, and dealing with the day-to-day grind that we have to go through in overcoming, and if we keep just focusing on ourselves, we can lose that sight. We can lose that big picture, what the kingdom of Yahweh is really based on. Right? We lose that sight totally. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at verse 38. Now the just will live by the faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back. He said we are not of those who draw back. Now the King James Version uses the word shrink. You know, it uses the word shrink. And Webster Dictionary, one of the meaning of that word shrink means to contract or curl up the body, right? So what does it mean? Like it's like the body is like this and it's curling. So automatically what it's saying, you're making a U-turn. In making a U-turn. Now, in other words, you're turning back, you know, to sin. I remember one of the deacons who I talk a lot with. He said one night he was working, and you know, he saw an animal coming up to him. What was it? Armadillo was walking, coming up to him. And, you know, armadillos move like kind of blind, walking, coming up. And it said the armadillo just stopped right by his feet. So he said, "Well, okay." So he decided to bend down and pick it up and move it away. He said when he bent down and picked up that armadillo, he said that armadillo started scream like a pig. Right? And he said it scared the living daylight out of him. And he had to, you know, put it back. And this is what Yahshua said. There will be real wailing and gnashing of teeth when we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahshua, Hawken, and his seed, and whoever thrust it out. He said there will be that. So let us look at some words that Yahshua gave us to encourage us. Let's look to Psalm 16 in closing. Psalm 16, let's look at verse 5. It says, Yahweh is our portion, our inheritance, the portion of our cup. You maintain our lot. Let's look at verse 7. It says, we will bless you, Yahweh. You give us counsel, our minds. You have instructed in the night season. Listen what Yahshua said here, because this is encouraging with us. He said, I have set Yahweh always before me. He said he set Yahweh always in front of him. That means every single thing that we do, everything that we do, we should set Yahweh in front of us. Right? And this is how we will guard the house of Yahweh. This is how we will guard and keep the words of Yahweh. So with this, I'd like to turn the podium to the next speaker, the great Kohen David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Well, today I'd like to finish the message I started in the summer. We had two installments so far. And this series has to do with pointing out some prophecies that Yahweh has provided for us so that we could see them being fulfilled and therefore believe. And of course, that's because Yahweh made us that way to respond that way. Okay? Now, someone warned me that I shouldn't talk about belief, because the women in the house of Yahweh has gone on to higher and better things. They know. Which is great, and we have no problems with that. But hopefully I get to a point in this message where we see where there is a belief or knowing versus offending or taking offense. And hopefully we'll get to that where you can see what I'm saying. So far we covered about four things that Yahweh has given to us so that we could see and therefore believe. The first thing we had covered was the last days and how Yahweh just, it seems just like the quint of an eye, or just like that, he changed it from horse and buggy and swords to cars, trains, buses, missiles, space shuttles, nuclear weapons. All of a sudden, it just occurred like that. But he did that so that we could see. Also, we covered the book of Yahweh. The book of Yahweh has been restored despite all the efforts of the Catholic Church to keep it locked up. Also, the name of Yahweh has been restored. And you see more of that being used now as you even go on the internet and so forth. It's becoming more popular. And of course, we're all sitting in the house of Yahweh. Another prophecy fulfilled, the house of Yahweh established in the last days in the chief of the nations. I want to get right into the next item. Hopefully I don't get to spend a lot of time in it. And that is, that one is found in Isaiah 2 verse 4. Isaiah 2 verse 4, where it says, "He will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. Neither will they learn war anymore." So the teaching of peace is something else that you could see, brethren. And it's being fulfilled. It's started. It's not on a level yet where you see all these things starting to occur. No, but we can see it in embryo form. We here are involved in that teaching. Let me ask you a question. Can just anybody walk off the street or any organization teach peace? Well, one organization thought that they could After World War II, the United Nations.
So we have what we call here the Isaiah wall.
They pulled this scripture that I just read and wanting to make it their goal, which is an ideal thing, but as Isaiah 59 tells us, they can't do it. In Isaiah 59, it tells us that in verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. They are always reasoning out a way to not keep the laws of Yahweh. So they'll never be able to come to peace and be able to teach peace. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Verse 8, they do not know the way to peace. See that? They do not know the way to peace. You cannot find it anywhere else but the house of Yahweh and the teachings of peace, brethren. I want you to see that because it's one of those things that Yahweh has given us so that we could see and believe that this is the place. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever walks on them will not know peace. So they can't do it. So the UN forget to read verse 2 of the same book. And here we'll find the organization that is prophesied to do it, to teach peace. In verse 2 of Isaiah 2, it says, "It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will flow to it." That's who's going to be teaching the peace, brethren. And always keep that in mind. This is why we're here. And you can see it. Be serious about your walk with Yahweh and the peace that you must exhibit, the peace that we must exhibit, okay? And practice. Don't let it be just, you know, something nonchalant. It must be practiced. It must be real to us. We must practice it. It must emanate from us, not just talk about it. And we're getting to that point. We're improving. I can see that. The house of Yahweh is making strides. And praise Yahweh for that. So, let's move on to the next point. And hopefully, well, this should consume the rest of the time that we have here. That I have. And the next thing that we have that Yahweh has given us in these last days are the two witnesses. You can see them and you can believe them. The two witnesses. Now, there's a whole lot of prophecies written about the two witnesses. We're not going to go through all of those today. What we would like to focus on is in Isaiah 43, verse 28, and also some of what's in Isaiah 44. So let's go ahead and read that. It says, "Therefore," Isaiah 43, verse 28, "Therefore I will dissolve," and the King James use profane in that for dissolve. But if you notice here, I don't know, can they see it? Okay. You see the word dissolve here and also profane. Okay. But I like dissolve because it makes things a little bit clearer. So it says, "Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood and will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Now, have you ever asked yourself the question, why were these three entities mentioned in this verse? The Levitical priesthood, the witness Jacob, and the witness Israel. Do they have anything in common? I would say yes. All three were given the responsibility to speak on Yahweh's behalf at some point, right? The Levitical priesthood was given authority over the administration of the word of Yahweh by Moshe. And in Zechariah 4 verse 14 and Revelation 11 verse 4, it tells us that the two witnesses are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the earth. And in Isaiah 44 verses 1 and verse 8, we learn that the identities of the two witnesses are Israel and Jacob. So therefore, the fate of all three are being examined in the same time period. In our time period, brethren, the fate of these three are being examined in our time period. It wasn't relevant at the time of Isaiah or even of the time of the Savior, because neither Jacob nor Israel was born yet. They weren't born yet. Yahweh wants us to behold these three entities and see what he said about them, to see that what he said about them did come to pass. Okay? So what did he say about the Levitical priesthood? He says, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. Dissolve. Let's take a look at that. And this is dissolve from just straight from Google. And notice what it says here. It says, where a solid become or cause to become and incorporate into a liquid so as to form a solution. But look at this here that's highlighted here. Glucose, he gives you an example. Glucose dissolves easily in water. And if you ever think about that, you mix that up and it dissolves. What occurs? It disappears. It disappears. Here's a little write-up about the Pharisees. And I'm not going to read all of it, just the area that I have highlighted here. It says, the Pharisees were important to the development of modern Judaism. However, the other two main factions of Judaism of the time, the Sadducees and Essenes, disappeared. They just disappeared entirely. The Pharisees didn't exist anymore either. Well, we know where they went. But just to point out that what Yahweh said did occur. They just disappeared. Let's move on to the next leg of this verse. And will give Jacob to the curse. So, brethren, what I wanted to point out is don't think in your mind that this word curse means somebody cursing you out. Okay? It actually means death. Curse comes from Strong's word 2764, and it has to do with a doomed object, extermination, utter destruction. It doesn't just mean someone saying a bad word. And if I could go through this real quick, I want to use an example of something that occurred in history in Samuel to illustrate the point of curse meaning death. There was a battle being waged between the Israelites and the Philistines, and under Shaul, King Shaul. And Jonathan had advanced and was making some headway against them, while Shaul was getting kind of nervous because his men were being distressed and some of them were fleeing the scene. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24, notice what it says here. And the men of Israel were in distress that day because Shaul had placed the people under an oath, saying, "Cursed is the man who eats food before evening comes, before I have taken revenge upon my enemies." So none of the men had so much as tasted food. Now, Jonathan was not around where he could hear that proclamation that the king made. So he ended up having a little honey. And to make a long story short, Shaul eventually got to the point where it came down to Jonathan, where he made an inquiry. It says in verse 43, it says, "Then Shaul said to Jonathan, 'Tell me, what have you done?' So Jonathan told him, 'I only tasted a little honey with the end of the staff in my hand, and now must I be cursed?'" Is that what you see there? No. He says, "And now must I die?" Okay? So you see that this word cursed, that's what it's referring to here. And we did see that occur, that the witness Jacob did pass away. And not to think anything particularly evil about him, because Yeshua Messiah also became a curse for us. Let's move on to the next topic, the next leg of this verse. And it says, Yisrael to reproaches, or Yisrael given to reproaches. Let's take a look at that. Reproaches. Okay, so it says, express disapproval, disappointment, disgrace, discredit, shame. And I want to point out something here. It's not just reproach. It's reproaches. So in case anybody's new and feel that you got left out, what we went through was just midterms. We still have finals to come. And let's talk about the midterms for a little bit. If you could like visualize Isaiah 44, verses 1 to 8, and just highlight, and I had it but I didn't bring it, highlight where it says reproaches on top there, and then foretell. There's a link there, okay? And foretelling is connected to the reproaches. Pastor hinted at this during the same time period of the September 12, 2006 prophecy. I'm running into some trouble here with time. I can't go over. So let me figure out how to conclude this. Maybe we'll do it again. I mean, maybe we'll have a fourth one. But here's the thing, brethren. At the time these prophecies were being declared and all that transpired, We experience all of these things that was mentioned in the definition, right? Some people experienced them and thought that it was reason to leave the house of Yahweh. No, brethren, it wasn't reason to leave the house of Yahweh. It was reason to glorify Yahweh. Because he's showing us again here, even when it comes down to this, and not only that, brethren, but we will not know Yahweh unless we experience these reproaches. And I wanted to show you that so much, but maybe we will see that at some later date. So with that, if you all please stand and welcome our next teacher, the great Khan Kana.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Of course, we're going to go ahead and pick up right there where the great Kahan left off. There was a lot that was brought forth so far, and we still have one more speaker to go. I'm going to cover some things. The title is Yahweh's Authority and the Last Day's Prophecy. Okay, Yahweh's authority and the last day's prophecy. And you've seen that already in some of the things that have been brought forth. We're going to start, of course, at Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 reads, "And Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And of course, we have placed that word authority in a lot of the last writings in the prophetic word in the place of rulership. Okay? Rulership, the word that it comes from is 7287 in Strong's. Now, one thing is the King James Version uses the word dominion, okay? The King James Version uses the word dominion, and in the King James Version Study Edition, it defines dominion as supreme authority to govern, okay? Supreme authority to govern, okay? So with that, let's turn over to Exodus, page 61 in the Book of Yahweh. Exodus 20, verse 2, this is law number one, a positive law number one. Believe in Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. Okay, so Exodus 20, verse 2, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And of course, we notice bondage was a bondage of sin. Now, keep in mind everything that's been brought forth, especially the last couple of speakers, about how prophecy is in place at this time with the two witnesses and also the seed of the two witnesses, and even the sermon before that about the importance of not showing fear. Okay, now one of the things I want to go to is in the book of Yisrael, the 16th book of Yisrael, if you would have it, page 118. Okay, so page 118 in the 6th book of Yisrael. This is Yahshua's memorial. Okay, the chapter was chapter 11. It's Yahshua's memorial. The date, the worldly date, the Roman date is 04/21/2016. Okay, and we're going to start on page 118 in verse 7. Now, keep all of this in mind about Yahweh's authority and what's being given to mankind to fulfill this. Okay, Yahweh, this is Pastor, of course, speaking. Yahweh starts off with Genesis 1:26, which says, "I will make mankind in my image and I will give him authority. That goes on in his house. He calls you to his house. He says there you'll be tested and tried. Yeshua himself was tested and tried, yet without sin. Okay, without sin. He was tempted in all points like we, but he was without sin. Now, Yahweh said before mankind the same thing. He said before you in this generation, we're the remnant. Now, keep all of this in mind. We're leading up to the last day's work. We're the remnant that will turn this whole thing around and resurrect all of those who died before us. Now, what I want to do now is turn back to the previous page, page 117, and we're going to read the two verses that Pastor read before that. And it helps to explain things in the way that we're going here. Pastor says, Yahshua is the way to the tree of life, and he's the guard of the tree of life. He will not allow anyone in that kingdom that can't bring forth righteousness or has chosen the way of the gods. The way to the tree of life is what he, Yahshua, is guarding. And of course, we are being trained to guard just in the same way that Yahshua, working with Pastor the Branch, we as Pastor Seed are working towards the same common goal. Okay? And, you know, one of the things that just comes to mind, I'd seen a note that I had on a sermon that was given about unity. And the speaker, and I don't recall who it was, had actually defined unity as a combined effort. You know, and if we think about it in that way, you know, it's a combined effort that we attain righteousness and abstain from evil. Okay, now in verse 6, the creator of mankind, his plan, that's what Yahshua is guarding. Yahshua is in total agreement with Yahweh. From the beginning, he was in total agreement with Yahweh and how Yahweh will finish out this plan. Very, very important. Now, this sermon, you know, was given, like I said, on Yahshua's memorial. And, you know, Yahshua is the way and the guard of the tree of life. Now, let's look at some of the examples that Yahshua shows us about faith and authority. Okay, so if you'd be turning over to Matthew 21, found on page 749. Okay, Matthew 21. Page 749 in the book of Yahweh. And let's look at some of these examples. He shows us some great examples here of what all of this is leading up to in the prophecy of the last days. Authority, the way in which we guard this way, and also our faith. Okay, so Matthew 21, we're going to start in verse 18. Okay. Now, in the morning, as he was returning to the city, he was hungry. And, of course, this is speaking about Yahshua. And when he saw a fig tree along the way, he went to it. But when he found nothing but leaves on it, he said to it, "May fruit never grow on you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw this, they marveled, saying, "How soon the fig tree withered away?" Yahshua answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith," okay, now this is all, the faith is this whole system of salvation that's been offered to mankind by Yahweh through the laws and the prophecies. "If you have faith and do not doubt," do not fear, like one of the earlier speakers brought out, "you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain," now think about it, the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, "be taken up and cast into the sea," okay, the sea being peoples, nations, and languages, "it would be done." This is part of our commission. You know, we are the house of Yahweh with a promotion that is being brought forth, and actually we've been brought forth into this multitude of people, okay? And it would be done. And Yahshua ends it by saying this, and all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, we got to do it with right intentions. Okay, now this faith is Yahweh's plan of salvation that's offered to mankind. Let's go over to page 802 in the book of Luke. Okay, page 802, chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. Okay, 17, 5 through 6. Now, we're talking about faith now and how authority and faith can be looked at in one same way. Then the apostle said to Yahshua, increase our faith. Okay, increase our faith. Yahshua said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. Another example of the house of Yahweh, that mulberry tree actually goes back to fig, you know. Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, think also about everything that Pastor is teaching us about the microorganisms, you know, and the power that Yahshua had in which he displayed these things. Okay, so let's go back to the book of Yisrael. Okay, the book of Yisrael 16, same book of Yisrael. Now we're going to go to chapter 13, and I would encourage everybody, you know, these chapters, chapter 11 through, I don't know if I got the last chapter, but it's Yahshua's memorial through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, so we're going to go to page 142. Okay, page 142. Now, this is one of the sermons given during the feast. Let's see here. Okay, page 142. We're going to read verses 38 and 39. Okay, now listen to what Pastor says here now. Yahweh will save his people. You know, this plan is to save mankind so that mankind can go forward, do what Yahweh has ordained us from the beginning, okay, to actually bring forth this work throughout the entire universe. So Yahweh will save his people from their sins. He's going to save his people. Who are his people? Those who choose to be his people and make themselves into Yahweh's likeness. It all comes back around and into Yahweh's image. Now listen what he says here. Those are the ones who are going to be given this authority. Yahshua backed that up and said, blessed are those who do his commandments, because that's the way that we gain that authority and believe in the prophecies, because they have the right to the tree of life, which is the eternal house of Yahweh. They're the only ones who have right to the tree of life. In 1 Yochanan 3, 7, and 8, it says, if you break the laws, you don't belong to Yahweh. You belong to Satan the devil. You belong to Satan the devil. And verse 39, that's plain. It's written. It won't change. It's not a mistranslation. Revelation 22:14 is not a mistranslation. Matthew 24 is not a mistranslation. In this generation, it's going to be, now this is what it's come to now, as one of the speakers said earlier, even in a rapid fashion, okay, this generation of the nuclear bomb, of the increase in knowledge, surely anyone can see we have an increase in knowledge. And you remember how the apostles asked Yahshua, please increase us, okay? We see we have an increase in knowledge starting in this generation. If not, go down here and see the display, and I would encourage everybody, please, to go down to that display during the feast. Go see it anyway. Look at the outdoor Johns. Now, he gives that as an example, you know, to see the advancement of mankind. Okay, so now let's go ahead and Let's go ahead and go to 558. Okay, 558. This is in the book of Isaiah. 558. Okay, 558. Of course, Isaiah 44. I got to go back a little bit further. 558. Okay. Now, this is going to tie in totally with the last speaker. Okay, and Isaiah 44, 1 through 8, showing Yahweh's authority. Now, what I want to make sure everybody understands is to see how it doesn't just mean pastor, it doesn't just mean the commission that Jacob had, but actually of the seed of Yeshua. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yeshua, who I have chosen. This is what Yahweh said, who made you and formed you, meaning he educated him to do this last work from the womb. Who will help you? Do not be afraid. Jacob, my servant, and Yeshua, beloved Yeshua, whom I have appointed. Ordained. If I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, I will pour out my spirit, and we know that's referring to the law and the prophecies, upon your seed, which we are, and my blessing upon your offspring. They will spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand. All of these things have been fulfilled. Okay, now drop down to, go to verse 6. Now this is what Yahweh, the King of Israel and Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts says, I am the first and the last, and except for me, there is no other source of power. There's no other authority. Now Pastor had told us, and I think I wrote this from what he had said in a sermon, the ability to create, what Yahweh is showing here is the ability to create and foretell or to prophesy. Before me, no God created anything after me. Yahweh lives forever and no God will be. This is going to be part of our commission. You know, we're going to eliminate God worship. Okay, now go over to Isaiah 45 on the next page. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Okay, this is what Yahweh says to his anointed, speaking of pastor, for uprightness, whom I have taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him. Yes, the strength of kings I will reveal, to open the doors before him, and the gates will not be shut. Okay, and you can refer also to Revelation 3:7. I will go before you and those who are being honored. I will go before you and those who are being honored. I will make their way straight. The gates of bronze I will break down, and the bars of iron I will cut. I will give to you the treasures of darkness and the riches of secret places, so you may know that I, Yahweh, who calls you by name, am the Father of Israel. Okay, verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and for Israel my chosen or ordained, and I call you by your name, Jacob, and surname you, Israel, though you did not recognize that it was me. And we know that even in the beginning, you know, both Pastor and Jacob were not really, you know, they didn't have that knowledge. Yahweh didn't give them to that in the very beginning. Okay? Now, verse 5. I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. All it is to reinforce in our minds the ability to know that if we believe in Yahweh, this authority that he is going to give us, to where we'll be able to make these commands to raise the dead, to bring forth life through the microorganisms. Okay, I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God, Elohim. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me. Okay, now this is our job. This is the most important part of this chapter here. So that they, and of course that means all of us, you know, together with all of those that Yahweh has chosen to come out, and all nations in the end result may know that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace. We're going to be peacemakers and create destruction. I, Yahweh, do all of these things. So I would encourage each and every one of you, brethren, to study, show yourself approved. You know, we need to get ready for the feast and do what it takes in order to become involved in the work so that we can be useful tools in Yahweh's house. If everyone would please stand. I have the great blessing and honor to introduce our next speaker, the great Kohen Levi Hart.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'm going to continue a sermon that I started a few weeks ago, and the title of it is Run the Race as a Champion. So this is going to be the second part of it, and it's the subheading is Become Strong in Yahweh's Way. Become strong in Yahweh's way. Now, previously, we were looking at Hebrews chapter 11. We were looking at some of the prophets, the men and women of old who have run this race before us, how they succeeded in living this way of life. And we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, that they without us would not be made perfect. So we know that those who have gone before us are waiting on this last day's work to come to its finish, or to finish this course, so that everyone would be completed. We saw that the motivation that they had in pushing ahead and living Yahweh's way, because that's what running the race is all about, living in accordance to the laws of Yahweh. We also look at Yahshua, our high priest, and what motivated him. We saw that he looked ahead to the joy that was set before him. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we also look at Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, because what we saw about Yahshua is that Yahshua, and one of the previous speakers made mention of it, that Yahshua always set Yahweh before him. And this is something that is so important in running this race, is that we always have to set Yahweh before us. And this is it's critical. What we also covered is that if we have been in the house of Yahweh for the past 40, 30, 20, 10, 5 years or less, that should be proving, it should be proving to ourselves that, yes, we can keep the laws of Yahweh just by the mere fact that we have been doing it for so long, and that it is possible to uphold the laws of Yahweh. And for the newcomers, those who are now coming to the house of Yahweh, those who may be watching from afar, just the mere fact that we have people in the house of Yahweh for that long should tell you that, yes, you can keep the laws of Yahweh if you share in the same determination, have the same endurance as those who have been here for that period of time. But another thing that I would like to add is that since many of us has been in the house from the beginning over the years, that those who left the house of Yahweh 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or maybe even a year or less, that they don't have any excuse, because they're those who are remaining in Yahweh's house. So they can't say, well, I left because the laws of Yahweh are impossible to keep. No, it's not, because we are still here. It's not impossible to keep the laws of Yahweh. So our endurance, it proves multiple things in the plan of Yahweh. And that's one of the reasons why Yahweh has given us the time that we have, because there's a lot of things that needs to be proven. Now today, what I would like to focus on is what makes the champion a champion, or what makes a strong man or a woman strong. So I'd just like to rehearse the definition of the word champion, and this is taken from dictionary.com, and it means a person who has defeated all opponents in a competition or series of competitions so as to hold first place. Now we're going to be talking about what we are fighting against and the opposition that we faced. You know, so we're going to identify the opponents. The competition, or the series of competition, is basically dealing with the test and the trials that we are going through, the things that we have to endure, the things that we have to work through in order to remain in the house of Yahweh. Now, if you remember in Psalm 19, verse 5, and we covered this the last time, the last half of that verse says, he rejoices as a champion to run a race. He rejoices as a champion to run a race. And we looked at that scripture in the King James Version, and that word champion is translated as a strong man. It's word number 1368, and some of the key meanings of that that definition, that Hebrew word, in Strong's, it means powerful, champion, and strong man. It also means valiant, and some of that is highlighted at the very bottom of the page. And then that word 1368 comes from 1397. 1397 comes from 1396, and it means to be strong by implication, to prevail, be great, be mighty, prevail, put to more strength, strengthen. And we covered some of that the last time that I spoke on it. And this word prevail, it means prove more powerful than opposing forces. Prove more powerful than opposing forces. And remember that the definition of the word champion shows it's a person who has defeated all opponents. So when you prevail, when you have the strength, when you become that strong man or that strong woman in the house of Yahweh, it means that you have proven to be more powerful than everything that is opposing you, all the opposition that you may face in one form or another. And we're going to look at some of that opposition, and then we're going to look at the perfect example, Yahshua Messiah himself, and how he overcame that opposition. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Because what we should realize in the house of Yahweh by now is that keeping the laws of Yahweh, it's not difficult. It's not a hard thing to keep the laws of Yahweh at all. What makes it difficult is the opposition that we face. It's the carnal mind that we have to overcome. It's the thoughts in our own minds that we have to overcome. It's the thoughts in the minds of others that we have to overcome. And that's what sets up the struggle. That's what sets up the competition. And this is where you have heard the phrase, the daily grind comes in, because it's a constant effort that you have to put out in order to keep running, in order to keep living this way of life. And Yahweh has set that up for a specific purpose, because through this constant struggle, through this having to overcome the opposition, you end up developing character. You end up developing the character of Yahweh, because that's what it takes. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. So just keep that in mind. The overcoming of the opposition is what builds strength. And remember, we are focusing on that, what it takes to become a strong man or a strong woman in the house of Yahweh that helps you to endure. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brothers, strengthen yourselves in Yahweh and in the power of his might. Strengthen yourself in Yahweh and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the crafty ways, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not only against, so here you have the competition, the contest, the struggle, the battle, the warfare. These are all words that is used in various parts of the book of Yahweh. For we wrestle not only against flesh and blood, but also against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, that's identifying the Vatican and the Catholic Church there. Spiritual forces of the evil one in the heavens. And that's talking about the influence of the adversary and the demons. Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having overcome all, to stand. Now, keep in mind the word overcome all, because that's part of the prevailing. That's part of being strong, being able to overcome all. Now, this word, be strong, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it is word number 1743, and it means, in Strong's Greek dictionary, it means increase in strength, strengthen, be make, or be strong. In Thayer's Greek and English lexicon, it means to be strong, endue with strength, strengthen,
to receive strength, be strengthened, increase in strength. Now, if you look at the side note, where it says, finally, my brothers, strengthen yourselves in Yahweh and in the power of his might. Side note C next to the word power shows Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and it says, law is strength to bring you to salvation, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. So we see that this is talking about the laws of Yahweh. This is where we get the strength from, and it's the practice of the laws of Yahweh. So the laws of Yahweh give strength to those who do it. You don't receive strength from the laws of Yahweh by just knowing it. You have to actually put it into effect, and that's what strengthens you. Let's turn to, or be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So this strength that you receive from keeping the laws of Yahweh is what helps you to overcome all. That's what gives you the victory. That's what enables you to prevail in the contest, in the competition. That's what helps you to overcome every single thing that you face on a daily basis or throughout the years. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read from verse 4. And this is found on page 906 in the book of Yahweh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And it reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But let's read from verse 3. Let's go back to verse 3. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds, demolishing arguments, destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh, bringing under control every thought into the obedience as the Messiah. So what is the weapons of our warfare that is being spoken of here? Let's turn quickly to Galatians chapter 5, because this is a spiritual battle. And of course, in order to succeed at this, you have to have the necessary spiritual tools. As a matter of fact, if you look up the word weapons of warfare, part of the definition of the word weapons, it also means tools. It also means implements. So it's talking about what you use in this struggle. Now, Galatians chapter 6, found on page 914, and you could hold your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 because we'll be going back to it. Let's read from verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not perform the lust of the flesh, the carnal passions. If you look at the side note A, it shows that it's talking about the law. Walk in the law, because we know that the law is spiritual, and there are many other scriptures that goes along with it. Verse 17, for the lusts of the flesh are against the Spirit of Yahweh. And what I want everyone to notice is the opposition that is set up in this contest or in this competition. And again, that's what really makes the struggle hard, because there's certain things that you have to overcome, and there's an opposition to keeping the laws of Yahweh. So it says that, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not perform the lust of the flesh, the carnal passions. So that's verse 16. For the lust of the flesh are against the Spirit of Yahweh, and the Spirit of Yahweh is against the lust of the flesh. For the one opposes the other. So be mindful, and do not do just anything you desire to do. For if you are led by the Spirit, are you not under the law? Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, now this is talking about the tools that we need to utilize to overcome the works of the flesh, which is shown in verse 19. And one of the previous speakers mentioned that concerning fornication, adultery, uncleanness, licentiousness. That's verse 19 and 20, God worship and so forth, envy, murders, drunkenness. All of that is in verses 19 through 21. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is what we get from keeping the laws, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, righteousness, the faith, meekness, gentleness, humility, temperance, self-control. Such things are not against any law. And those who are the Messiahs have sacrificed the flesh, the carnal mind, with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you could see that the carnal passions, the things that we wrestle against, these are the things that we have to give up in order to become the champion or the strong man or the strong woman as identified in Psalm chapter 19. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 5 again. It says, demolishing arguments, destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh, bringing under control every thought. Bringing under control every thought. Now, this is really, really critical. Every thought has to be brought under control. Every single thought has to be brought under control. And if you remember the chain, thoughts leads to what? Let's think peaceful solution. Thoughts lead to what? Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings leads to what? Feelings lead to actions. And what do actions lead to? Yes, rewards or consequences. So it starts off with a thought. And that's what we have to bring under control. And this is what Yeshua was able to bring under control, if you notice carefully, bringing under control every thought into the obedience as the Messiah. Into the obedience as the Messiah. Yeshua was able to bring every thought into subjection to the laws of Yahweh. That's what he did. How he did it? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And again, all of this is how we become strong, that strong man or that strong woman in the house of Yahweh. It's through that process, bringing every thought into obedience, just as Yeshua did. You know, that's one of the things that when I think about Yeshua, and you have to remember that Yeshua was a young man, how was he able to accomplish the things that he did? And it wasn't a simple process. I know we understand the breeding program, but that alone didn't do it all for Yeshua. It played a big part, yes, but it didn't do everything for him. He of himself had to work at keeping the laws of Yahweh. And he of himself had to go through certain steps in order to accomplish Yahweh's will. And this was something that he did willingly. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. He learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Now, if you look up this word, obedience. Let's look at the word suffering first, which is 39:58. It means to be affected or have been affected, to feel, have a sensible experience, to undergo. And again, what this is showing, this is talking about the test and the trials that Yeshua had to go through. Because Yeshua was tested. He was tried in every way just as we are, and the scripture shows this. But if you also look at the word obedience, in this particular scripture, it means attentive hearkening, and that means to listen. That is, by implication, compliance or submission. Obedience, make obedient, obey. And it comes from word 52:19, and it means to hear under as a subordinate. Well, let's look at Theos first. 52:18, it means obedience, compliance, submission. Obedience required, rendered to anyone's counsels as obedience in observing the requirements of, and we know this is not Christianity, it's talking about the house of Yahweh, but then it also shows to hear under as a subordinate, that is to listen attentively by implication, to heed, conform to a command or authority, hearken, be obedient, to obey. So what we are seeing is that Yeshua, through the experiences that he had, through the things that he went through, he was able to listen to Yahweh's laws. He was able to follow the counsel that was given to him. And he did this continuously, step by step by step by step. I was thinking about the way Yeshua was raised. It would have been comparable to the way the one sent was raised in these last days. And the fact that His parents would be the one who would have been giving him that primary instruction, pointing out certain things to him, developing his mind, and emphasizing the fact that he must be obedient to what is written in the scriptures, just as it was emphasized to the pastor when he was being raised. And it's through this process, this listening, this obedience, the test that he went through, making sure that he followed the laws of Yahweh and so forth, if you notice verse 9, then being perfected. You see that? Then being perfected. His perfection didn't come instantly. It was through a process, and then he became perfected. It's the same process that we are going through at this time, brothers and sisters. I didn't have time to talk about the overcoming power that Yahshua had that we are building also in this time period. But this is really a wonderful thing that Yahweh is doing with us in these last days in bringing us to perfection. So may Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll ask for everyone to please stand.